Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikulskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is Steve Hamilton, the New York Times bestselling author, and his new novel, Dead Man Running, is now available from the good folks at Putnam. It's the 11th book in his Alex McKnight series about the former Detroit cop, occasional PI and bounty hunter and overall problem solver who lives up in Michigan's Upper Peninsula. This time around, though, McKnight gets a visit from a couple FBI agents who take him to Arizona, where they've recently apprehended this Martin T. Livermore. He's a serial killer who says one of his female victims may still be alive, but he wants to talk to McKnight and have him join the recovery effort for some reason. But McKnight doesn't remember Livermore at all, let alone understand any connection between himself and this psychopath. So, Steve, the last time Alex McKnight graced the pages for us was 5 years ago. In the meantime, you've entertained us with two volumes of this terrific new series about the character Nick Mason, which I just love. How long has this story for Alex McKnight been brewing inside your mind since we last saw him?
Thanks a lot, Brian. That was a great. You made that book sound really good. I hope I live up to that. But you know, it's just been. This is, like you said, this is the first McKnight book in 5 years, and I was kind of inspired by the movie Skyfall. If you've seen that, that was a James Bond movie, mm-hmm. where they go back to James Bond after God knows how many Bond movies they had done in the past, and they kind of, maybe the character kind of got away from them a little bit. And I was just, not that I felt it like that was happening to me so much, but as I went back to him, I was just inspired by this idea of, like, what is it about this guy that makes him to be a compelling character? And it makes you want to read about him. Because, I mean, that first book for Alex McKnight was A Cold Day in Paradise, and that was 20 years ago. I mean, it's really amazing to think about that this month is literally the 20-year anniversary of that first book, and I've been with this character ever since. And as I go back to him after that five-year break, I just wanted to just sort of really put him on one of the biggest challenges that he's ever faced and really get back to what is it about him that makes him be able to face it.
And do you sense that connection with not only between the author and the character, but with your readers and the character?
Yeah, that's one of the, you know, just the most amazing and great things that I never take for granted is that they're, you know, as I'm on book tour right now, I'm meeting readers who have been with me since that very first book. And if you really think about it, I mean, these days especially, to spend all that time reading, just to sit down and read a book, it's such an amazing thing right now. So some of these, you know, many readers have been with me and with Alex McKnight, and they've spent all these hours with him, and they know him. They know this character so well. It feels like sometimes they know him even better than I do, and they see things in him that I don't even see. And so it's just been an amazing experience. That's like the best part of doing this kind of work for a living is that, you know, cause writing can be such a solitary task for the most part. But just for a couple of weeks every year, you get to sort of travel around and really talk to the people who are reading these crazy stories that you make up. So it's just been great.
Do you find yourself having to go back and reacquaint yourself with Alex after this particular amount of time, knowing that readers know him so well, and they'll point out if you miss something?
Yeah, you know what? For the most part, you know, even though it's been 5 years, it really felt like, okay, this is Alex. It's like I know everything about him, or at least I think I do. And it didn't feel like I really had to reacquaint myself at all. I mean, every once in a while, there'll be a little bit of a detail here and there. There is one reader, a friend of mine, Jan, out in California, who I literally have called once in a while, and I'll say, wait a minute, how many years did Alex play minor league baseball? Was it 2 years or 4 years? And she'll know the answer right away, and I don't have to go look it up. But, you know, that's just the minutiae of somebody's life. You know, she has this super memory and knows this character like that. But as far as him himself, you know, what it feels like to be in his skin and what, you know, sort of the way that he approaches life, that's the part that, you know, having done so many books with him, it was really great just to go back to that.
When you first did A Cold Day in Paradise, did you have plans that he would be a multi-book character?
I sure as heck did not have any plans like that. I mean, I don't know anybody who would. I mean, I was a writer. I loved crime fiction. I wanted to try doing that because it's what I always wanted to do. And I tried to actually write like a private eye novel, like a real private eye, you know, the guy in the office with the client and the, you know, going out and doing a case kind of stuff. And I so failed at doing that, totally failed. And what was left in that wreckage was just this idea of, okay, how about just a guy who's just, he was an ex-cop, and he's in this really lonely, remote place, and that's like the interesting thing. It's not that he's a working private eye, but that he's like this ex-cop, and you don't know what really happened to him, and he gets sort of drawn into this kind of, you know, his past sort of comes back to catch up with him, even in his place where he's sort of gone away to get away from it. And I just followed that idea instead of the other, you know, obvious idea that I thought it had to be, and that's sort of where I found Alex sort of kind of waiting for me. And I was just, you know, I was just following that thread and seeing if I could write a story about this guy, and that was the first book, and I wasn't thinking about the second book. I really wasn't until they literally sort of asked me, where's the second book? And I'm like, it's coming, you know. And that was the winner of the Wolf Moon, and I didn't, you know, it's 20 years later and 11 books later, and I hope I've become a better writer and that the books are getting better, but it's just been a heck of a ride.
But when you all of a sudden realize now this is going to be a multi-part series, do you have aspects of Alex's life that become a story arc that go, that say, okay, we'll deal with this a little bit in this book, and then maybe in a subsequent book we'll get him to this place, now that you know that there's going to be more than one edition?
Sure. I mean, that's mostly in his relationships with some of the people around him. I mean, even though he is in a pretty remote place, there's Jackie, the guy who owns the bar, and there's Vinny, his friend from the reservation, and Leon is the guy whose job he took, and he ends up sort of getting in a fight with in the first book, and the guy comes back later to help him. You know, these characters, he sort of originally might feel like they're just like these standby characters that have to take a sort of serve a function, serve a certain role in Alex's life. They really become real characters of their own. And so some of these books become really as much about them. You know, Vinny especially, the book where he has to go find his brother who's missing up in Canada, that was Blood is the Sky, and Alex goes with him. I mean, that's how it's like each book sort of has its own time to really get into some of these other characters.
And for the most part, they're set in Michigan. Alex is in Paradise, Michigan. I know you're a Michigan guy yourself, grew up in Detroit, went to U of M for college. What attracted you to this particular location in the Upper Peninsula there along Lake Superior that made you decide to make that Alex's home?
Well, if you ever go there, if you ever have a chance to go to Paradise, Michigan, and I recommend it, but make sure you leave some time because you got to drive forever to get to a blinking light, basically. Thinking about Alex McKnight, who was this cop from Detroit, and this terrible thing happens to him to sort of drive him away from his own life. One of the very first questions I had to ask myself is where would he go? You know, if that was me and I wanted to get away from everything, and knowing the Upper Peninsula as I do, growing up in Michigan, I realized that you cross that bridge into the UP, it really is a different world up there. And it really is a good place to get lost if you want to. And so it was a pretty easy choice for me to use that as the place that Alex would escape to. And there's something about the word paradise too. To name a town paradise, and this is a town that the old town burned down. It was called Sheldrake. Pardon me. And they moved it. They moved the town around the turn of the century, and they renamed it Paradise, and they picked that name. And this is a town that in 1995 got 6 feet of snow in 24 hours. So to name a place like that Paradise, it was just like this really amazing, cool thing to have. And it just sounded right in that first title, Cold Day in Paradise. It's better than a cold day in Escanaba or something.
Well, this book, I think it's the first one that it kind of takes it out of Alex's perspective, and you're having the story's being told from a different point of view. What challenges does that pose for you as a writer?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, there's just parts of the story that were told. You know, this guy, this is the worst guy Alex has ever run into by far. And so, you know, I just wanted to try getting into his head a little bit and show you, and instead of just having like this black box, really evil character doing these terrible things, and Alex is sort of in this chase with him. I thought it would be much more interesting if you could actually see some of this from the other guy's point of view, because even as bad as he is, he has to have some. He has to be a human being, and he has to have everything he does has to make sense to him at least, even if it's for a sort of backwards, turned upside down reason. So, it was a real challenge writing from that point of view because, I mean, you know, it's a really dark point of view. It really is. It's really twisted, and it's not something I've done a lot of before, writing somebody who's just that bad. And I'm not, you know, I don't think I want to do it again real soon, honestly. But it was just, it just felt like this book really needed for you to see it from that other point of view, so you could sort of have this back and forth a little bit between Alex and this guy who he's chasing.
Well, if you want to write a cop, you talk to a cop to see how they think. If you want to write a doctor, you talk to a doctor. It's not like you can go talk to a maniacal serial killer, right?
I generally hope I haven't run into too many of them in my life. You're right. I mean, we sort of have this fascination with some of these guys. Some of these, you know, the Ted Bundy, who did this for so long and got away with it and was just able to charm people and, I mean, for years, and he actually escaped from prison twice. I mean, it's just this amazing character who's brilliant and smart and charming and's got every skill that a human being could have, but there's just that one thing that's just broken inside of him, you know? And I hope I haven't spent any time with people like that, but you do sort of get a sense of how these people operate, especially now when we all sort of have this understanding of how the FBI works and building these profiles, there's all these TV shows about the profilers and criminal minds. And people are really fascinated by that stuff. But one of the sort of interesting counterpoints to that, though, is that that FBI profile is really just a tool, and it's very helpful, but it can occasionally send you down the wrong road, as it did with the Beltway Sniper. For instance, remember,
sure.
We were all looking for that white guy and the white loner and the white van, and the real Beltway Sniper and his accomplice got away for a long time, just because you sort of made up your mind that this is what this guy is going to be like. And even the Unabomber, there was a real false lead. You know, people were looking for the aerospace engineer. He turned out to be something very different. So, Alex just sort of goes by his gut instincts as an ex-cop. And so I thought that would be one little interesting thing to do instead of just having it all be about the FBI profiler and what a miracle that is that they can, you know, find this guy, because it's really not.
Well, it seems to just fit Alex's personality well, because he's not some superhero with all kinds of superhuman strength and guns that we see in a lot of other books, right?
He really isn't, no. That's the thing that going back to what it is about him that makes him, I hope make you want to read about him. He's an ex-cop, ex-baseball player. He's got his life up in paradise. He's renting out cabins. He's plowing snow. He's chopping wood. He's not a superhero at all. He's a regular guy, but when he needs to answer the call and help someone or do something, that's the part about him that I just love, and I hope other people really can respond to, that he just doesn't quit.
When you write these stories, these books, who sees the manuscript first before your publisher does? Do you have anybody that looks at it and gives the suggestions before it even goes to the editor?
For years and years, there was my old writing group. There were a couple guys, Frank and Bill. I'd go have lunch with them every week, and they would read, the chapters. as I was going. They were the only people who would see it, and they would really beat it up for me. They did me the great honor of just ripping it up if it wasn't really doing everything that it should have been. You know, it's rare to have somebody like that that you can trust that can really give you good advice when you're writing. But it's such a great thing to have. And I don't see Bill and Frank that much anymore, but now I have my man Shane, who is just such a great writer and a great screenwriter himself, and he's the guy who will read the books and really be honest with me about as a reader, because you're writing it for somebody to read, and the reader is generally always right, and if it's not working, it's not working, and you got to really make sure that it does.
All right. Well, the book is Dead Man Walking. It's the latest Alex McKnight novel by Steve Hamilton. The book's available now wherever your fine books are sold from the good folks at Putnam. Go on and check it out. And if you haven't read the Alex McKnight series, go back and check out the previous 10 of these because they're just fantastic. And also check out his Nick Mason series because that one's fabulous as well. Steve, fantastic offering here. Thanks for joining us to talk about it.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you very much.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakulskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.